When most people think fashion, the state of Iowa does not come to mind. But a few young designers are doing their best to change that. This hour, I'll talk with fashion designers from around the state. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. The Iowa Fashion Project is a fairly new organization that will hold its first full-scale fashion show on December 11th. Today, I'll talk with designer and organizer Simeon Talley of Guns and Butter. I'll also talk with the designers behind Gentleman Care, Peplum and Paisley, and Blue Collar Fashion. And Sarah Bennett will be here. She teaches fashion design at Iowa State University. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Historically speaking, fashion trends don't start in the Midwest. Trends start on the coasts or in Europe and make their way to the middle of the country. But there are a lot of exciting things happening in fashion in Iowa right now, and a new group is trying to get the word out. Simeon Talley is one of the organizers behind the Iowa Fashion Project. He is also the designer behind Guns and Butter, an Iowa-based t-shirt company. The Iowa Fashion Project is going to hold its first full-scale fashion show called Frost the Runway in downtown Iowa City on December 11th. And Simeon Talley is here in the studio with me today. Hello, Simeon.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk about the Iowa Fashion Project.
Well, tell me how the idea for organizing the Iowa Fashion Project came about.
Yeah, like you mentioned before, I have my own political t-shirt line. And a while back during Entrefest, I was looking and searching for ways to showcase what I was doing and work with a few other local designers to work together to showcase collectively, you know, what we all were doing. And Andy Stahl and Amanda West, the organizers of Entrefest, we approached them like, hey, would you guys mind if we produced a fashion show on Thursday night of Entrefest and sort of work with you guys and invite Entrefest attendees and open it up to the public? And they obliged. And from that fashion show, that event, it became something much bigger. We brought together, you know, 15 brands. We brought together a bunch of stylists, photographers, just a lot of people who had been working in the fashion community locally before, but have never been brought together specifically, you know, for elevating what everyone else was doing. And so the event was a huge success. You know, 400 plus people showed up. And then moving from that, after that, there was demand for so much more. People wanted another fashion show. People wanted to know what we had planned in the future. And that gave me sort of this thought that maybe we were onto something that could be bigger. And why don't we take a step back and think about how do we, you know, continue to bring people together to elevate fashion, to showcase the talent that exists? Because our premise, our basic belief is that the talent exists, but for some reason, the perception is that, you know, Iowa's not fashionable or that there aren't cool brands doing cool things here. But we know that's not the case. And so we sort of took a step back and thought, well, let's do something bigger. Let's push back at this notion, at this perception that fashion doesn't exist in Iowa. And let's bring people, the talent together, and let's think about how do we create a community.
Now, when you say fashion community in Iowa, I guess even I think, really? so give me an idea of what's out there. I mean, you have a political t-shirt line, and there seem to be a number of t-shirt companies out there in Iowa right now.
Yeah.
We love novelty t-shirts. I think everyone loves novelty t-shirts.
Ray Gun
Maybe
being
Iowa
the most successful,
loves
right?
them more.
Yeah.
But what else is going on?
Yeah, I think so. In the process of creating my political t-shirt line, I tried to take a look at all the other different cool things that existed in Iowa to sort of mimic, to sort of learn from, connect to be creatively inspired by the different fashion brands and happenings that already existed. So in that process, I was able to sort of look out and find people like brands like Blue Collar, designer Andre Wright, or Emily Carlson of Peplum & Paisley, Lee Miller and Connor Paulson of Gentleman Care, Connect to Mike Draper at Ray Gun, Darian Bao of Men's Style Lab, Bedowers, which is the top five men's boutique in the entire country in Des Moines, There are other cool brands. Sex and Ice Cream is a line designed by a Des Moines-based individual named Nicole Leth. And it was just sort of impressed upon me, wow, I don't necessarily have to look outside of the state to get to be inspired or to find other brands to work with. The talent really exists here and you know, across different fashion genres, maybe whether it be street style, whether it be, you know, casual wear, athletic wear, or even more higher end contemporary men's and women's clothing lines and stores and boutiques. The talent really exists here. And I guess sort of that my that insight was the process of sort of trying to create and get my own line off the ground and trying to connect to other people that were in this space, in this state, to get feedback on what I was doing and to say, hey, at some point, I would love to collaborate with you. And here we are.
Well, and you're bringing a lot of different styles of fashion mm-hmm. together. It sounds like a lot of people are doing really diverse things. Is that unusual in the world of fashion to bring people doing such different things together?
I think so. I think you don't see the collaborative nature or spirit that we fostered here in Iowa replicated elsewhere. And what people traditionally think is like fashion communities in New York or L.A. or even Chicago or some of the bigger markets. But I think we're forced to because people don't are very cynical when we talk about Iowa fashion. So we're forced to bring people together and work with people in whatever space or whatever fashion genre or whatever fashion line they're trying to create. We're forced to figure out a way to, like, you know, collaborate and collectively sort of work together to elevate what everybody's doing. And so that's sort of the spirit that we fostered in how we approach all the different events and building and growing the Iowa Fashion Project.
Now, I suspect that a lot of the designers that you're working with the Iowa Fashion Project grew up in Iowa, and that may be the reason that they're here. You didn't grow up in Iowa.
Yeah,
what
right,
brought
right.
you to the state?
Politics. Barack Obama, 2008, was sort of what brought me to Iowa, and after the campaign, finishing my degree and going to school at the University of Iowa is what kept me here. But to be honest, I never thought I was going to stay. I always thought that if not moving back home to Columbus or moving to a place like New York, which is kind of cliche at the moment, you know, why not go to Denver or why not go further west? There are cooler things happening elsewhere. And,
yes, we've heard about
right,
that.
Right. And to sort of, you know, live like a meaningful, purposeful, rewarding life and do creative and cool things. I had to leave the state. But at some point, and this is before I started, before I decided to create Guns and Butter, I looked around and just saw that there's so much talent and so much creativity that exists here, and that to move elsewhere, the barrier to entry is so tough. And that there's this spirit there's this culture of whoever you want to connect to, whether they be, you know, the highest person or on your list or sort of whomever you want to connect to and reach out to, they're very accessible. And that's not something you find elsewhere in other communities. So if you want to do something, you have an idea, it's very likely that if you want to connect to someone in Iowa, whomever it may be, that person's just an email, a phone call, or a connection away, and then you'll be able to connect with that person and work with that person. And I feel like that's something that we have that exists in Iowa that doesn't exist in other places, and what really sort of kept me here.
Tell me a little bit about Guns and Butter, your T-shirt line.
Yeah,
and that refers to this is a campaign.
The term is from the 1960s.
Tennis ball, right?
Yeah. the Guns and Butter is a term from the 1960s during the LBJ administration, and it represented the trade-offs and the choices between spending money on the military. In that time, it was the Vietnam War and ramping up that effort versus in the trade-offs that approach the trade-offs that existed between spending money on LBJ's Great Society program, universal education, housing, affordable housing, alleviating poverty, right? These grand, lofty, liberal ideas for a not quite utopian, but a better world, right? And there was this tension between the two approaches. And I guess I'm using Guns and Butter not necessarily to posit, you know, military spending versus sort of alleviating poverty, but that the world we live in is a world full of choices and conflict and tension. And we should think about those things and think about those things more critically. And I wanted to use a clothing line, Guns and Butter, to talk about those issues.
So tell me about some of your designs. What are you working on right now?
Yeah, so right now we have an anti-sex slave tee, and it, every T-shirt sold, it goes to support an Iowa organization combating human trafficking and sex trafficking in Iowa. And I guess my motto is make really cool T-shirts, exceptional design, quality garment and fabric, but also sort of pair that with strong political messaging. I really believe that particularly young people want to stand for something, and that fashion, style, and design can be an extension of their political beliefs and their and the worldview.
Now, you're doing the design in Iowa. Are the other components, are these being manufactured in the state?
So the we buy wholesale T-shirts from a manufacturer in L.A., but I work with a screen printer named Johnny Fowles, and he's based here locally as well. And when I work with other designers, and they're based in Iowa as well.
And when you think about sales, where do you set your sights? Obviously, for example, I mean, I realize you're going to make a lot of shirts about a lot of different political issues, but human trafficking is a problem all over the United States and all over the world. Where does this go for you?
That's a really good question. I think I'm focused on sort of finding my niche, developing a community around Guns and Butter, around, you know, political fashion, around some of the issues and ideas that I want to talk about, and building and cultivating that community here in Iowa, and then sort of branching out elsewhere.
And the fashion show Frost the Runway is coming up on December 11th in Iowa City. This is the Iowa Fashion Project's first full-scale fashion show. Briefly, yeah. What's it going to be like?
So it'll be a collaborative effort bringing together some of the top brands, boutiques, and designers in the area, telling a story. It's a fashion show, but we really want to create an experience unlike people have ever been to, or an event they've ever been to before. So we've took a step back and we said, well, how do we not just create a fashion show to get people to come out and see a runway, but how do we work with other, incorporate other artistic and creative elements to tell a broader story about fashion, Iowa, winter, design, creativity. And so we're working with not only all those designers and brands and some of the local boutiques, but we're working with Leslie Nolte of the Nolte Academy. There'll be a curated dance portion. We've worked with the local DJ to sort of think through the music. We'll have a really interesting light production experience happening. And there'll be a DJ as well. So we hope people come out, and it's an interesting experience, and they learn more about all the different cool things and the fashion that exists here locally.
All right. Well, Simeon Talley, stay with us. Simeon Talley is one of the organizers behind the Iowa Fashion Project. He's also the designer behind the political T-shirt line Guns and Butter. Throughout the hour, I'm going to talk with designers around the state, and we'll find out more about students studying fashion design in the state of Iowa as well. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about fashion in Iowa. A new group called the Iowa Fashion Project is going to hold its first full-scale fashion show coming up on December 11th. It's called Frost the Runway in downtown Iowa City. And I'm going to turn to a number of different fashion designers around the state of Iowa now doing very different things. Lee Miller is up next. He's one of the gentlemen behind Gentleman Care. Hello. Hello, Lee.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, pleasure having me on. Thanks.
Tell me about Gentleman Care. What is your business like?
So Gentleman Care is a handcrafted leather label. We invoke the nostalgia of the 1930s, really looking to kind of revitalize what we consider to be the modern gentleman. We've kind of come under our own in the last few months, launching just last year in February. And our general idea is, you know, stylish and affluent doesn't need to be equated with aloof or uncaring. We think that today's entrepreneurs are, you know, really positively engaged in the world around them. And so, you know, we're concerned about society and we're really involved in public interest. So I think as as we've continued to scale and grow our business, we really touched a big nerve with a lot of really, you know, successful people, but a lot of younger people as well, kind of, you know, come, you know, kind of doing their own thing, but really saying, like, I can be successful but still be really active in the community as well.
So what was the need that you saw that you thought you could fill?
Well, I think there were quite a few of them, but one of the things, you know, just as a general e-commerce shopper, I was on a lot of different men's style sites, you know, as you start to buy clothes and stuff. And me and my two co-founders, Connor Paulson and Kevin Tompkins, who's our leather artisan, we kind of really noticed that people are spending a lot of money on products, you know, baggage, belts, T-shirts, you know, et cetera. And just really the quality isn't there. And there's this thing called planned obsolescence that a lot of people aren't aware of. And it's the entire idea that, you know, if I produce a shirt, I only want this shirt to be worn maybe 30 to 40, 50 times before it starts to break down, and then the customer's required to buy another shirt again. And so one of the main staples we focused on when we launched the company was, you know, offering a lifetime guarantee of every product that we make. You know, we put care and compassion in just every inch of detail into our custom leather work. But the big thing is, if you buy something from us, you know, you're guaranteed to it's going to last. It's going to be something you can pass down to your son or to your daughter. It'll last forever.
Now, I've been looking through your product line. You do notebook covers, you do belts, shaving kits, messenger bags, a number of different bags, all made out of leather. What makes, I know these are designed to last, but what makes them different from something that you'd buy at a department store?
Oh, good question. So the big thing is, let's talk, you know, maybe like a designer handbag. People are willing to spend anywhere from $600 to almost $2,000 to $3,000 on designer handbags. The funny part is most of them are not even made out of leather anymore. It's vinyl with an imprinted logo. It's, you know, a pretty cheap fabric interior. There's a lot of cardboard that goes into the seams. The stitching is poorly designed. And so kind of the big thing is you're spending all this money for basically a name brand. And so the difference, it's one of those things when you see it, you believe it. So we can kind of talk about general thickness of leather. So, you know, most times cheaper belts, they, you know, shave off layers of leather, which we let's call them 1 ounce cuts. And so these really thin layers of leather are then glued together, wrapped in some type of rubber sealant, and then usually a layer of plastic, and then, you know, they glue down the edges to make it appear like it's a full-scale, thicker cut of leather. Whereas pretty much everything we make, you get a full leather hide that's, you know, it just sprawls across this tape. And we pretty much take handmade knives and you cut every piece from this hide before you assemble the bag or assemble the belt. And if you look, the difference really is you can see towards the back end of the hide where you have a tougher grain leather all the way up to the front of the neck where it's a lighter grain leather. But the quality is you have just one thick, solid piece of leather where it's not going to separate. It's not going to break down over time. It's not going to, you know, stretch and end up, you know, like if you wear a cheap belt for a couple years, they just end up being remnants of what the original belt was. Where ours is this single solitary piece of material that just gains character with age and just really will last and hold its quality over a long time.
Now, you are based in Solon. I know you grew up in Sioux City, Iowa. Why start your company here?
It was actually just kind of a whole bunch of fortuitous events. As Connor and I were discussing this, you know, this idea as far as being a gentleman and what it's like to be, you know, how do you grow as a successful person but still give back to the community? And I think, you know, we went through a couple different product ideas. Are you familiar with Alibaba at all?
Yeah.
So their IPO just launched, and we were saying, like, okay, you know, we could grow this company and we could outsource a product, and then we'll get Scrooge McDuck rich. but I think as we were growing this, you know, we kind of really said, but is it about the money or is it about having something you can be proud of? So, you know, we started with bamboo dress saw and just the experience with Alibaba, you know, it's meant for some purposes, but it just wasn't for us. I mean, they said, oh yeah, we can do bamboo dress saw, these are the designs, these are the templates. They produced them. And then when we got them, you know, we're like, oh, this is kind of cool. But the label said cotton and had a bunch of Chinese on it. So we were just like, okay, maybe this isn't the route to go. And we started designing kind of a retrofit men's calf sock belt that we thought was kind of a really cool thing. It was kind of revitalizing something classic. And we started looking for someone who could do a prototype of it. I talked to several friends that were in the leather industry. We had a few different opportunities that came our way. And then while I was working at a software company, I was fortunate enough to have a friend there introduce me to Kevin. Showed Kevin the idea. You know, we had probably a half a dozen cups of coffee and just over the course of a few weeks. And it was just kind of this experience where it really hit home with us when he said, you know, but will anyone really buy that? If it's under the pants, if it's under this, no one's going to see it. So then you're really limiting your overall market. And I mean, I can't even tell you how successful he is in business and just the experiences he's given us. But he said, you know, I can do this. I can make this. I can make, you know, incredible bags. I can do custom leather work. And so from there, it just kind of grew over time. And it's been just quite an awesome journey.
Where does the leather that you work with come from?
We source it all right here in the United States. We have a couple tanneries out in Pennsylvania. There's one in Missouri, one in Minneapolis. So it kind of depends. You know, if we're doing English bridal leather, we might order from this tannery. If we're doing oil tan leather, we might order from this one. It's just like anything else. Think of it as like the seafood or lobster market or like fresh fish of the day. The market price fluctuates as far as the materials go. So, you know, Kevin's always on his toes as far as researching them all and making sure we get the best hides at the best price.
Now, people can look at your products at gentlemancare.com. You're also thinking about launching a women's line as well?
Yeah, that's kind of one of our goals for January. We actually brought on another member of our team named Madison Gingery. She is still a student at the University of Iowa, but just a true fashionista, has a lot of really great knowledge as far as women's fashion. She's going to be actively working along Kevin's wife to design our inaugural women's bags. And, you know, it's going to be quite an opportunity for us. But as an honest man, I can say I don't think we'd be able to pull it off if it wasn't for Deb. So we're pretty excited about it.
All right. And you're going to be part of the fashion show?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We think the IFP is just an incredible opportunity. You know, I think the biggest thing is when you've traveled a lot and kind of been out to the coast, you just, you know, you say, oh, I'm from Iowa. And they go, oh, you guys grow potatoes there. And you're just like, no, we don't. You know, it's this entire ideal of, I think Iowans are really tired of being considered what we call a flyover state, you know, and I think there's, especially in the corridor where I'm living, there's just so much energy and entrepreneurialism and the Silicon Prairie movement. And, you know, fashion is coming, you know, it's coming right into its own in the state of Iowa. But, you know, anyone who's in the industry knows that there's an incredible wealth of talent here as far as the fashion program at Iowa State, the design programs at Iowa State, kind of a lot of the political science things over at University of Iowa. I mean, it's just been, you know, all of these really talented people are, you know, graduating and leaving to go to other parts of the country where they think there's more opportunity. And I think Simeon's on to something where it's able to say, these opportunities are right here. Well, you know, this is all the potential that exists in the state. And I think there's a lot of people that are willing to support it. So,
well, Lee, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Lee Miller, one of the men behind the product line Gentleman Care. You can look at their products online at gentlemancare.com. They're also part of the Iowa Fashion Project and will be part of the Frost the Runway fashion show coming up on December 11th. And we're talking with fashion designers from around the state this hour. Next up, Emily Carlson, who's owner and founder of Peplum and Paisley. Hello, Emily.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here today. Now, Peplum and Paisley is a women's clothing line. I know you haven't quite launched yet, but tell me about it.
Sure. So Peplum and Paisley, we're focusing on premium pencil skirts. And we do that through, you know, quality again, like Lee and Simeon were saying. So we do a lot of high quality sewing. But, you know, the most interesting aspect of it is the fabric. We use a lot of unique and luxury fabrics for our pencil skirts.
Now, what was the need that you saw that you wanted to fill?
Sure. So I kind of just started designing clothing more as a hobby because I was, you know, as a woman, I loved shopping and I would go out and just see, you know, there's things out here, but I just don't love them. So I would start designing clothes for myself that I liked. And from there, I just decided that I wanted to make kind of a business out of it. And one thing that I always thought was that, you know, classic styles look the best on women. They're the most flattering. They're the most elegant. And so one of those pieces I always came back to was a pencil skirt. And so I kind of did some research and noticed that there's not really a brand out there that's become known exclusively for the pencil skirt. And that's kind of why I decided to do that.
Now, you went through the apparel merchandising and design program at Kirkwood Community College, and you got a job with Eddie Bauer in retail management. Was there a time where you thought, you know, this is going to take me to New York or L.A.?
Yes, that's actually exactly kind of the path that I thought I was headed down. I thought, okay, you know, I'll start out with Eddie Bauer. Great company to work for. But I kind of, you know, after having discussions with some mentors within the company, it was kind of determined that, you know, you're going to have to invest a lot of years and time to maybe reach that designer level within a large corporate company like that. And that's kind of ultimately where I decided, I don't think I want to do that. I'd rather just start my own brand instead. So, yeah.
Now, a lot of people, because of really the way the internet works, I guess a lot of people have been able to do this on a small scale in recent years. There are a lot of little Etsy stores, that kind of thing. Why did you decide to go this route?
Honestly, I don't sew, so that was one reason. You know, I'm not sewing the pencil skirts and then wanting to turn around and sell them. I'm using, like, the full supply chain to get these things produced. And so, you know, I didn't think maybe Etsy was the best fit for the brand that I'm trying to put together. I wanted to do more of an elevated e-commerce site with pre-order functionalities and possibly some customization functionalities down the road. And so that's kind of why I decided to go that route rather than maybe the, you know, sewing things myself and selling them on Etsy, that type of thing.
And not only, so you'll have a website where people can order them, but you'll also be in stores?
Yeah, so I am focusing on both retail and wholesale channels. There are a couple boutiques locally who've expressed interest in picking up Peplum and Paisley, and then also a boutique in Denver, Colorado, as well. But I'll be focusing primarily on online sales, but it's always good to have those boutique partners as well.
And you will be launching the line this spring, right?
Yes. Yep. So I have all the designs completed for the spring launch. All the materials have been sourced and everything. Right now, I'm just trying to find a good fit as far as a manufacturer within the U.S. So,
all right. And again, I mean, I realize you decided you didn't want to go to New York or L.A. Is there something that you feel makes this work in Iowa?
Yeah, I am a believer that anything's possible, as cliche as that sounds. But I really feel like if you have the drive and the work ethic, you know, you can basically choose your own destiny. So where you're at really doesn't have a lot to do with what you can achieve. And although, you know, maybe some of our resources are a little bit limited in Iowa, you know, I'm still using resources in New York or LA to make peplum and paisley, you know, come together. But one of the biggest things that I tell people is, you know, cost of living on the coasts, it's, you know, greatly more expensive than living here in Iowa. So I like the idea of saving that money I'd be spending on cost of living and putting that into my business by staying here. So it's kind of a smart business move as well.
And where do you see this going in the future?
I want it to become a household name. I want peplum and paisley to be synonymous with the pencil skirt. You know, you have shoe brands like Christian Louboutin. You know, he has a signature shoe that, you know, is recognizable around the world. I want kind of the same type of recognition with a peplum and paisley pencil skirt.
Well, good luck with that. Emily, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Emily Carlson is the owner and founder of Peplum and Paisley, a fashion design company based in Iowa. She'll be launching her line of pencil skirts this spring. She's also part of the Iowa Fashion Project, and we're talking with a number of designers that are part of the Iowa Fashion Project this hour. The project is holding its first full-scale fashion show coming up on December 11th. It's called Frost the Runway and will be held in downtown Iowa City. We'll continue on in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about the fashion scene in Iowa. The new group, the Iowa Fashion Project, is bringing fashion designers from all over the state together. They'll hold their first full-scale fashion show called Frost the Runway in downtown Iowa City on December 11th. And we've been talking with a number of different designers from around the state. And next up is Andre Wright. He is the owner and founder of Blue Collar Fashion. That's capital B, capital L, capital U. Blue Collar Fashion, based in Iowa City. Hello, Andre.
Hey, good morning, Charity. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And tell me about Blue Collar Fashion. I think the first thing we should talk about is that BLU. What does that stand for?
Blue Collar Fashion stands for, BLU stands for Born Leaders United. And it's a simple message, and it's about being a leader in something you're passionate in, which I think all of us can resonate with.
All right. And what kinds of clothes are you designing?
Well, we're a men and women's apparel line. So we have an array of garments, including T-shirts, hats, sweatsuits. You know, we even have, like belts and, you know, things that would actually help us accent our message. So, we have a full line, basically, of men's and women's apparel.
All right. So it's generally streetwear, but the label is a very important part of this. It's not putting a message on a T-shirt. The label is the message. What are you trying to get across?
Yeah. So, you know, the garment is the vehicle. And I think it's important for us to understand ourselves as being leaders and being leaders of the community. And I think sometimes people don't think they can lead. They have to look for other examples when they actually could be a leader. You know, thinking about leadership, I mean, people tend to lead when they are passionate about something. So it's like finding that passion and then taking that passion to the next step and stepping up out in the community and doing things that make them leaders. So,
was there a need that you identified that you feel like Blue Collar Fashion answers?
You know, that's an interesting question. Let me go back to, you know, the origination of why I came up with this. You know, for one, I was a big brother, so I feel like I always had to be in a leadership position. And so a bit of it's personal. And then, you know, when I created the line, I started to see people really gravitate to it, and it became kind of a movement. And so it's like, well, you know, it's more than just me. It's a ton of people that feel this way about leadership and the lack thereof and the need for more, and how we need to support people to actually take that initiative to go out and lead in their communities and want to do great things and give off a positive message. So, yeah, that's kind of where that all came from.
And why Iowa for you?
I'm from Iowa, so I'm just up the road from Waterloo, Iowa, and I've been here all my life. And you know, it's like, why not? Why not? I guess that would be the next question. Why not Iowa? I mean, I've been to plenty of places like New York. I've been even internationally, and there's things here that I think people would be surprised at when they think about Iowa. You know, we have the stereotypical, you know, potatoes in Iowa, that sort of thing. But I think the challenge of being from Iowa and creating something in this space and then having it be someone from Iowa and make it, you know, on a national or mainstream level, I think that's important to me and, like, important to a lot of the designers that are creating right here in this space.
Well, Andre, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Oh, no, thank you. The pleasure was all mine.
Andre Wright is the owner and founder of Blue Collar Fashion, based in Iowa City. And as I mentioned before, that's BLU. You can take a look at the streetwear designs at bluecollarfashion.com. I've been talking with designers around the state of Iowa who are involved in the Iowa Fashion Project. Simeon Talley is still with me, one of the organizers behind the project and also the man behind the t-shirt line Guns and Butter. And also joining us now is Sarah Bennett. She's a lecturer at Iowa State University in the Department of Apparel, Events, and Hospitality Management. She's also faculty advisor of the ISU Fashion Show. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Charity. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And I know historically, people who've gone to Iowa State to work, to learn about fashion design, have their sights set on New York and LA. Is that still the case, do you feel?
You know, I think that we definitely still have a good number of our students who are looking at graduating and moving to New York, moving to LA. But I'm also noticing that changing a lot, that far more of our students are wanting to stay in the Midwest. They're wanting to be close to their families. They're wanting the quality of life that you can have in the Midwest. I'm definitely noticing more of a shift of my students saying, oh, you know, I'd rather stay in Iowa. You know, I'd rather stay somewhere close to home. And fortunately, I feel like more options are becoming available for them to do that.
What do you think is driving those options? Where does this come from?
Well, I think that actually Simeon and Emily touched on a couple of these. I think that, as Simeon said, the barrier to entry in Iowa is a little bit lower. You know, there's less competition. It's a less saturated market. So I think that you can definitely get your foot in the door here. As Emily touched on, too, the cost of living here is substantially lower than it is in those super major metropolitan areas. If you look at a starting salary of a student who graduates school, goes and gets a job in New York versus a student who would graduate and go get a job at Target in Minneapolis or at Abercrombie and Fitch in Ohio, the starting salary is going to be about the same, maybe even a little better in Minnesota or Ohio. But the cost of living is so much lower that it allows you to get much more of a jump start to adulthood when you're having that lower cost of living. And I think part of it is just value of family. You know, they want to stay close to their parents and their siblings and their grandparents. And being in the Midwest allows them to still have that professional life and personal family life.
We've also seen this explosion in e-commerce over the years, which
absolutely.
That's got to be kind of a double-edged sword, though, because it creates all these opportunities, but it's also a crowded marketplace.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that that's true. If you think, though, about a lot of the e-commerce that exists, they do still have brick and mortar stores as well. And I think that the companies that back up that e-commerce still have to have the people on staff in order to get that product into the market. And so I think that while it definitely has changed the landscape a little bit in the fashion industry, I wouldn't say it's changed it in a prohibitive way.
Now, one of the things we were talking about earlier, Simeon, when we were talking about your t-shirts, they're not being manufactured in Iowa. And Emily, same story. The men's bags are being manufactured in the state of Iowa, but
right,
there's kind of a mixed bag there. As a designer, is there a problem in trying to find manufacturing opportunities in Iowa, Simeon?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest deficits that exists in Iowa is that infrastructural gap, or as Emily described it, the supply chain, where you actually manufacture or source garments and fabrics from. There's a dearth of those opportunities here in Iowa. And that's a really big structural problem that eventually I think that we see the Iowa Fashion Project being a conduit or a catalyst to work with other partners to address some of those really big structural problems or deficits in the state. But I do think that we're finding all of the brands that we're working with and the designers that we're working with, there is a strong, you know, manufactured and sourced, ethically and sourced in the USA.
Well,
a component,
I was just going to ask you that because, them. I mean, yeah. Clearly there's a political message behind
right.
your shirts and their, we were just talking about with Andre about his clothing and definitely a message there. So when you're trying to affect political change or share a message, I mean, the ethically sourced fabrics has to be a very big part of that, right?
It has to be, yeah, it has to be a part of it because I think consumers, particularly younger people, millennials who are more politically conscious about, you know, the products that they're consuming, the garments that they're wearing, where they come from and how are the, and the people that are actually creating those garments and those fabrics and those products, how are they treated? What's their quality of life? And they'll sort of reward or punish brands accordingly.
Right.
So,
now, Sarah, do you see the lack of manufacturing or textile manufacturing in Iowa as a barrier?
Absolutely. My opinion is that that is probably the single biggest barrier to starting a fashion line in Iowa is the difficulty with finding manufacturing. Now, that's not to say that it doesn't exist, because there are apparel manufacturing companies in the state. A couple that come to mind for me would be Alf's Manufacturing, which I believe is in Sioux City. Polo Custom Products, which is a division of MC Industries, is in Monticello. So there is apparel manufacturing here, but it's not enough for the demand, I think, of starting designers. And it's also kind of tough to find. It's tough to get into. You have to have connections and know where to look. And I think actually Raygun has been mentioned a couple times through the conversation. And they have come out and said essentially that they're wanting to start addressing that and changing that problem. They just launched their cut and sew line, which is designed and almost exclusively manufactured by Lauren Pearson, who is a graduate of our program. She actually just won the Best in Show Award at the fashion show last spring. And right now, she's producing that entire cut and sew line herself. But they've announced that they want to build a full-scale manufacturing facility in Des Moines. Now, I don't know if that would just be to manufacture their goods or if they would be doing contracting also, but I think that could be a game changer for Iowa designers.
I understand, Simeon, you were talking about people being more conscious about where their clothing is come from, and I think a lot of people are, but we also have our budgets, and there's just so much cheap stuff out there. Is that a really big challenge for you? You know, you can say, I've ethically sourced this, but if you're going to charge $3 more a t-shirt, people may say, oh, I'll go elsewhere.
I think at some point, I think it's more so on the end of when you're first starting out, how do you get to a point where you're reaping a return on sort of your margin of return or rate of return, and getting to a point where you can produce enough product or enough material or enough apparel that when you sell it at a price point that it becomes profitable to you. The easy and quick way is to source really cheaply made products from outside of the country. Sort of you have to think through how do you put together a business model that takes into account, you know, sort of those price points or those challenges. But I think people figure that out, though. And like I said before, I really think that consumers will punish brands that don't take that into account. We live in a world where people are aware and connected to so many different issues and challenges and things that are going on throughout the world. And I think as from a small brand or independent brand or independent line perspective, you really have to not only put out product that appeals or people want to like and they'll wear, but your brand has to say something, has to stand for something. And where you source your garments and your product from, you know, ties into that.
So it's got to go farther than just the words on the on the shirt.
Yeah,
Sarah. I've interviewed in the past a number of different designers who've come through Iowa State. Matthew Christopher, the wedding dress designer, comes to mind, someone who's been very successful in New York City and is now dressing women on the red carpet as well.
Yeah, Matthew's wonderful.
Right. So with the students who come through your program, where do most of them go? I know you have a very high job placement rate.
Yeah, I think right now our job placement rate is somewhere in the 93-94% range. It's pretty high. We're very proud of that. Where they go geographically, it's across the entire country. I mean, literally LA to New York and everywhere in between. And I think that we're seeing I don't have exact percentages of who goes where, but my general feeling is that those Midwestern companies are starting to get more of our grads. Kohl's, Target, certainly Abercrombie & Fitch, Express, you know, these are Von Maur. These are a lot of companies that our grads are wanting to go work for. They're great companies to work for, and they get to be a little closer to home.
Simeon?
Yeah, I think one of the things that the Iowa Fashion Project is focused on, next May, we're having a festival May 6th and 7th in Iowa City. And we want to invite all those people that graduated from ISU or some of the other fashion design and apparel programs that may be working elsewhere. Because when you take sort of stock of the graduates that ISU has and where they're working at, you name it, there's an ISU grad working in some of the top companies and brands and all across the world. Our focus and one of the things we want to do is invite those people back to take a look at what we're doing and the talent that exists and connect those people that are living here currently to some of the talent that grew up here, was educated here, but had to move away and that are very successful in some of these companies across the country.
Sarah, are your students keeping an eye on the Iowa Fashion Project? Do they know what's going on?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the fashion festival in the spring, I know we were looking to be involved, but it's on the same weekend as our commencement ceremonies.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, we were somewhat limited there. But I definitely know that entrepreneurial spirit is strong among our students. And I think that they would be just beyond excited about the opportunity to have a little help to leverage those talents into Iowa-based businesses.
Do you feel like Iowa has a little bit of a taint to overcome when it comes to fashion? I know we get mocked for our fashion quite a bit.
I know. We're never going to live down that Onion article,
right?
Are we? You know, I feel like that's changing. I think that what happened with the caucuses the past 4 and 8 years and all of the reporters kind of coming in and saying, oh, gosh, I'm going to be stationed in Des Moines, and then writing these articles saying, wait, Des Moines actually pretty great, as well as all the work done by the young professional organizations to sell Iowa as a great place for graduates, for young professionals, for families, for businesses. I think we're overcoming that. And I see that continuing to change over the next couple years.
Well, Sarah Bennett, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sarah Bennett, lecturer at Iowa State University in the Department of Apparel, Events, and Hospitality Management, faculty advisor of the ISU Fashion Show. And Simeon Talley, your first big fashion show is coming up on December 11th, Frost the Runway in downtown Iowa City. If people want to get involved, where do they find more information?
IowaFashionProject.com, or they can go to our Facebook page, and it's just Iowa Fashion Project. Or you can email us at hello@IowaFashionProject.com. And I just want to pick up on that last point that Sarah made. I do think there has been a change of perception that cities like Des Moines and Iowa City and Cedar Rapids are doing a lot to create culture and arts and support creativity. And that's changing the perception of what young people can do here. And that really ties into what we're doing.
Simeon Talley, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Simeon Talley is one of the organizers behind the Iowa Fashion Project. He's also the designer behind the political t-shirt line Guns and Butter. And Frost the Runway is coming up on December 11th, the first full-scale fashion show from the Iowa Fashion Project. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.